Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening in, friends, to the NOLA Drink Show this week. As always, hope everyone had a good weekend, 1 weekend removed from, that football game. Yeah, sorry to our listeners there outside the area. We're still talking about that. Boycott Bowl coming up this Sunday, and you know I'm going to be a big part of it, and I hope you are too. Hope to see you out in town on Sunday wearing your Saints gear and patronizing establishments that are not involving themselves with the Super Bowl. There is talk, friends, of a parade of some sort going on. Still kind of tentative. We'll see what happens there. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of been a little bit of a rough week if you're a New Orleans sports fan, or week plus, I should say. The news just broke this morning that Anthony Davis there of the Pelicans, of course, our NBA team, is requesting a trade, saying that after his contract expires at the end of next season, he will not sign a Supermax extension with the team, which all but forces their hands. Now, here's the thing, and, you know, this isn't a sports show, but, you know, I like to talk about sports. Pelicans, don't blow this one. You actually don't have to trade him within the next 10 days. I'll spare you the stuff. Go read about it on ESPN or whatever, why there's kind of a window here that seems to kind of push things in the direction of the LA Lakers. Teams like Boston and teams like the Knicks have far better trade offerings to give you that this can wait till the end of the season. Davis can want to leave. That's just fine. You're under no obligation to trade him until the end of the year. Deactivate him, put him on the bench, let him sit, trade him in the offseason, and get a hell of a lot more than you can get from the Lakers. Don't need any of that Ball family shenanigans stuff down here in this town, all right? So don't. Just don't. Don't screw this one up. This is a franchise-changing event. We can get a haul, rebuild the Pelicans, and move forward in a positive way if you make the right trade at the right time. All right, there's my analysis there. Friends, we got a pretty good show coming up here for you today. I'm excited about it. Christine Bocchino, who is with us, she's out there in Los Angeles. Yeah, we're leaving the football stuff behind. Don't mention it. And Christine, among other things, is the beverage director at the Hotel Figueroa, a famous historic hotel in L.A. She's also a food and beverage writer. She writes for Edible L.A. as well as Drops Magazine. But importantly, she is now the U.S. brand, not that those things aren't important, but she is the U.S. brand ambassador for Healthy Hospo, which is a newish nonprofit started in the UK and is expanding to the US, and it is dedicated to health, wellness, work-life balance, all that good stuff, things we like to talk about on the show in the service and hospitality industries. And it's really interesting to talk to Christine. She's worked in the business for a long time, passionate about the subject, talking about these programs that Healthy Hospo is bringing to the table. We know there's a lot of movement in that direction. And if you're not in the industry, friends, and you listen to the show, you know, I think you get it. You care about the people that we go see when we go out and we eat out or we drink out or we do what we do that are taking care of us. And there's a lot of stuff that can be very taxing for them. That lifestyle and all that stuff can be very, very difficult. So it's important that we're supporting their viability, because it, like in a place like New Orleans, it supports our economic viability. And of course, that's something we've talked a lot about on the show. Not going to go too far down that road. Friends, want to mention a programming note. The second installment of our French Quarter Fest series is coming up next week. That's our show. We're going to be interviewing Lou and Shalia from Waterseed alongside Dr. Bryce Miller, a jazz musician in town, also an educator. Really interesting conversation talking about music, culture, food, drink, French Quarter Fest, all that good stuff. And you can go catch the first installment. You'll see information on the French Quarter Fest right there on our webpage, noladrinks.com. The first one aired about 3 weeks ago, and that featured Tim Lachlan and Stephanie Jordan, two fabulous musicians here in town. And it's an ongoing series, and we're going to have more coming up. We're actually booking some of the artists that we're going to be talking to leading up to French Quarter Fest coming in April, and we're going to continue the series after that. But that'll be the show next week. Again, members of the band Waterseed, as well as Dr. Bryce Miller, going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned for that. If you're listening on the radio, be sure to go get our podcast-only conversation, where Christine's going to stick around and talk to us, and we're going to get into some other trouble and commentary and all that stuff we do here on the NOLA Drink Show. Friends, are going to take a little break here, and then we are going to be back with our featured interview with Christine Bocchino of Healthy Hospo. Come on back. Hey friends, Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Agave Week is back with its new headquarters at the Ace Hotel in downtown New Orleans. Week-long events kick off Sunday, March 10th with tequila and mezcal tastings, seminars, panel discussions, and one-of-a-kind parties. Visit NOLAAgaveWeek.com for tickets and info. The Grand Tasting is the third annual Top Taco with unlimited gourmet tacos and cocktails from some of the best restaurants in the city. It's happening at Waldenburg Park Thursday, March 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. For tickets and info, visit TopTacoNOLA.com.
Down yonder, down on the farm. Down yonder, where?
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show this week, friends, as always. And as you know, if you're listening at the top of the show, and I hope you were, our featured interview today, special guest joining us, Christina Bocchino, among other things, is the food and beverage director, the beverage director at the Hotel Figaro in LA, a freelance food and beverage writer with a lot of focus on Italy, and also importantly now the U.S. brand ambassador for Healthy Hospo, which is a fine and fairly new organization dedicated to wellness in the service industry. Welcome, Christine. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me this morning.
Absolutely. My pleasure. You're out there in LA. It's as we're taping this here, and as listeners know, I always tape the show in advance. It's early afternoon here, and it's also miserable, miserable weather here. We're having a front come through again, and it's pouring. So how's the weather out there in LA? Do you want to make us jealous a little bit?
Well, that's kind of easy to do today. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. It's about 60 degrees, which is a lot warmer than a lot of places. We've had a crazy fall and winter with all of our, you know, fires and slides and all of that, but we're back to the beautiful weather, so kind of back to normal here, which is great.
That's cool and much needed. And one thing that we're actually going to let go, and we're not going to mention because about 65% of my listenership is in Southeast Louisiana, we're not going to talk football right now.
Oh, yeah.
We are not talking football. So we're going to move right on from there.
Definitely.
People, if we do, people are going to just tune out. So we're not doing that. But so you started, you've been in the service industry and hospitality industry for quite a while, and now you found yourself, and we'll get into some of your background and other things that you do, but working with this fine new organization, a nonprofit that started out of the UK called Healthy Hospo, which I like the little tagline here, working hard to build a healthier, happier, and more sustainable hospitality industry. And how did you find yourself involved and why, Christine, with the organization?
You know, I got really interested. I met Tim, who's the founder at DCB Brooklyn last year, and it was something that I've been interested in a while. You know, having been in the industry, I've seen a lot and been through a lot. And I've always wanted to kind of find an outlet or a way to kind of give back and help out. And, you know, as we get older, we don't really, you know, have the stamina that we used to and don't want to work till 4 or 5 in the morning. So kind of wanted to find a way that I could still integrate, you know, my background and experience, but, you know, in a different way. And so through a series of meetings with Tim, we kind of became familiar with each other, and I got really, really excited when he said that he wanted to bring Healthy Hospo to the U.S. You know, it has been in the U.K. for the last year, and they've been doing some great workshops there. But it's really, really needed in the U.S. There's a little bit, definitely a lot less support for people in the industry out here than you can find in, you know, Europe as far as medical, financial, just general well-being of people in the industry. We don't have that support, so we're excited to bring it here.
That's really cool, and I think, you know, and I don't want to go too far down the road on this topic, but I think people, a lot of listeners are going to understand that, you know, obviously in Europe there's a lot more support for wellness in industries and of employees and workforce and things like that, and I'm making very broad generalizations, but there's more of an ethos for it in that part of the world for understanding these aspects in really any industry. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, anywhere from mental health to physical health, you know, financial support, there's so many stress factors in this business, and there's a lot that people don't see. There's they see it's kind of semi-glamorous side of the business, but they don't really see the dark side, so to speak, of, you know, lack of sleep and just, you know, loneliness of travel for a lot of the brand ambassadors and things like that. And there is a lot of alcohol and drug abuse and depression that goes along with it all. And it's nice that people are actually having those conversations now and really talking about it more, because it's so necessary.
Yeah, it's great. And I think, you know, and to the point I was just making too, I think when we talk about Europe versus the U.S., the sort of holistic nature of healthcare for the general population in any industry is a little more well understood and a little more well implemented, as opposed to having complementary programs like we are lacking in the United States for anybody to support. Like we're talking about mental health in really any industry is not something that's particularly widely addressed, not least as well as it is in a place like Europe.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So with Healthy Hospice, so you guys started out about a year ago. It's a UK-based nonprofit, as we've talked about. I know I mentioned this to you in previous conversations before, Christine, that, you know, we've addressed some of these topics on the show, and it's something important that we like to talk about here on the Nola Drink Show quite a bit. But getting sort of specific, and we'll talk about program specifics for those in the industry that are interested in learning more about what you do and how to get involved when we do the podcast only section, Another Shot with Nola Drinks. But let's talk about on kind of a broad level, because there's really a lot to unpack here. You just touched on a few of these things. We're talking about things that might not be obvious to the average consumer or the enthusiast or a guest at a restaurant. It's working weird hours, but you even touched on something like financial support and well-being and understanding that kind of balance in life. What are some of the things at Healthy Hospo that you guys see as being issues where you can intercede and really make a difference?
Well, one big issue is the lack of healthcare. You know, unless you're working with a big corporation, large chain hotel, things like that, you really don't get medical benefits. So one thing that's really, really great that they're launching this year in the UK and hopefully by the end of the year in the US is that Tim has set up a plan where people can join Healthy Hospo and join a group plan actually through Healthy Hospo.
Oh, cool.
At great rates. So, you know, they do in Europe generally have great medical already, but for the US, this is going to be huge. Huge. I mean, we're paying anywhere from, you know, $300-$400 to $700 a month right now for healthcare, and it's ridiculous. So most people are going without because we just can't afford it. And if we can get this going in the U.S., I think it'll be revolutionary.
That's really important. I'm glad that you guys are focusing on that, sort of like a PPO kind of thing, right? Or something where people are able to do that. And I mean, and we're talking about people, right, that are, yes, and we'll get into this, you know, shortly, but the lifestyle can be unhealthy. But oftentimes we're talking about people that are young professionals, often in their 20s and, you know, or 30s. And the amount that people have to pay for healthcare in that age group or any age group in this country is astronomical. So point is we're talking about people who would, in all things being equal, are in the prime of their lives as far as health goes. And the rate shouldn't be that bad, right?
Right. They really shouldn't. But because of the, you know, way things are going right now, it's just super, super expensive. It has actually come down, but, you know, depending on what plans you're doing, you know, you can find, you know, smaller coverage and things like that, but it's still not what it should be. You know, we should be paying maybe $100 a month, not $500
absolutely
a month.
Absolutely. And let's go a little further down that road, too, because we are talking about, I think a lot of people, you know, maybe they know this, maybe they don't, that a lot of our friends that work in the service and hospitality industry, because of the nature of the industry, in this country in particular, healthcare is not commonly provided by the businesses. It's costly. People are oftentimes working part time. But this is the case, is it not, that it's not an industry where healthcare is readily available through your employer?
No, absolutely. I think at least in Los Angeles right now, if you have less than 50 employees, you don't have to offer health insurance. So a lot of places, because they're struggling as is, you know, it's such a crazy business and the success rate is so low that adding healthcare on top of the expenses for a restaurant or bar can really put them under. So a lot of places that I've, you know, spoken to actually take special care not to have 50 employees or more because of that extra expense. So it's tough. It puts them in a unfortunate place, and it's not really good for anybody.
That's a really good point, Christine. I appreciate you making that, because I think a lot of people, and we've touched on this in times past on different episodes of the show, that people might have a bit of a misconception about like the restaurant and hospitality industry, the spirits industry even, maybe not the big producers, but mom and pop wineries, small spirits producers, and of course anyone running a restaurant or a bar. there is that perception of glamour, right? And people think, oh, well, you got to be making money hand over fist. Well, one of the things that's reality is actually most of these places, especially venues, we'll call them bars and restaurants, they operate on a 2 or 3% margin. And when you throw in healthcare for a staff of 25, that throws you out of business. That puts you in the red.
Absolutely. Yeah. I used to own a restaurant here in Los Angeles. Okay. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most stressful times of my life. It was wonderful. And I still have people coming up to me saying, you know, it felt like a living room, like it was so welcoming. And it just reminds me that, you know, we put on a good front, you know, everyone had a great time, but the stress of, you know, the investors paying the staff, paying the bills and all of that, you were constantly juggling, you know, who do I pay this week? Who do I not pay? And even, you know, during a very successful run, it was stressful. So, you know, imagine if you're not doing well. And as we stepped away from the restaurant after 4 years, the weight off our shoulders was immeasurable. I mean, I can't even describe it. It was just amazing.
You know, I had a friend, this is a tangent, but I had a friend of mine on who is a co-owner in a bourbon producer, but he also has two restaurants that are successful in New York and had a restaurant here for a couple of years in New Orleans that recently closed down, and I hadn't seen him since the restaurant closed, and he had a smile on his face, and I told him, you have a healthy shade of pink. I know you can appreciate what I'm talking about there.
Definitely.
Well, and I want to make the point, Christine, that because, you know, we have touched on this, as I said before on the show, but it's not because restaurateurs and bar owners and these people don't want to provide healthcare. It's that they can't. These people are not being bad actors. It's not that at all. It's these margins are really tight and healthcare costs are really high. And then we throw in this aspect of that you're working in the service industry. So you're working when everybody else isn't. You're often working around alcohol. You're working, you know, when everybody else isn't. What I mean is you're working odd hours. So then we kind of throw in some things that can be jeopardizing to your mental and physical health, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's so many factors that play into it. Again, you know, going into like the travel. I did some travel this past fall. I was in Europe for a couple months, traveling to bar shows and writing and things like that. And I kind of got a glimpse into the life of a brand ambassador. I had heard a lot about, you know, the constant travel, and it seems so, again, glamorous.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say, your life is so amazing. All they see are these events, and I'm going here and there, but they don't see, you know, the downtime, the running back and forth. You don't see your home very often. You don't see your friends and family. And there's a lot of loneliness and depression that can go along with that. So, you know, I have talked to a couple brand ambassadors that have a really great workout regimen, and I don't know how they do it, but you've got the energy for it, and you know they really work it well. But I know there's a lot of people that don't have that dedication to it, and it really can take a toll on you. So you know, we always kind of tell people, check in with your friends, check in with other people in the business, and just make sure they know that you're there, you know, and that at least they have someone to talk to.
Right.
But you know, I was happy to have that experience because now I can really relate to that travel and that, you know, craziness of, you know, 7 countries in 7 weeks. And I feel like I have a much better kind of a grasp on that part of what we're doing at Healthy Hosta that I can, you know, talk from experience in that area.
Right. That's a great point too, Christine. And I appreciate you saying that as well, because I think a lot of people might come in and it's reasonable to come in and think, oh, well, you got to go to Italy and then France and this and this, and how bad is that? And there are parts of that which are absolutely freaking wonderful, right? I mean, it's rewarding.
Absolutely.
It's really neat, but that can be really, really taxing because you're not home. You're not, normalcy is out the window. Regular schedule, regularity, routine is out the window. But I think even when we talk about our friends that are working as, say, a bartender, as a server, as a line cook, a hostess, manager, whatever we're talking about in the hospitality industry, it can also, in a sense, be somewhat similar in that, one, when you're working, you always have to be on. It's actually oftentimes a very high-pressure, high-stress, quick-motion environment. And then again, when you're off when no one else outside of your industry is off, and that can be very isolating, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, talk to friends and family who are, you know, handling all the holiday stuff. We rarely have holidays off. We rarely have weekends off. We don't even know what a weekend means. Usually it's like a Wednesday, you know, maybe it's Thursday night. But most of us are, you know, actually working, and we miss a lot of life in a way. You know, there's a lot of, don't get me wrong, I mean, there's so many great things about this business. And it's such a great tight-knit family, but it is a very different lifestyle.
It is a very different lifestyle. Let's do this, Christine. Let's take a little break here on the show. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about your work with Healthy Hospo, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the other interesting stuff that you do as well. Can you stick around for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, friends. We're chatting with Christine Bocchino of Healthy Hospo, Hotel Figaro, and also a freelance beverage and food travel writer. We're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, friends. Come on back.
Stay here till we soothe our soul with a taste all night long.
We say Le Bon Temps Brûlé. Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Yeah, from the city that shares a deep connection to bourbon and knows how to throw a party, comes the third annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival from March 20th through the 23rd. Discover over 150 bourbons and American whiskeys, as well as great food at the Grand Tasting. Check out more than 30 seminars led by industry luminaries, special distiller dinners, and much more. The event is brought to you by Beam Suntory, Four Roses, Brown Foreman, Uncle Nearest, Bourbon Plus, and the Hilton Riverside. More info and tickets at nobourbonfest.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening into the NOLA Drink Show, friends. This week, as always, we are chatting with Christine Bocchino, who, among other things, works for a very fine new startup, I'll call them, a nonprofit based out of the UK, but rapidly coming in our direction here in the United States, if that's where you're listening to the show, dedicated to wellness, health, well-being, and the hospitality industry. And Christine, one of the things that we were talking about before we cut away to the break, we're kind of getting on this. It's like when you're working in the industry, whether you're traveling all the time and representing a brand, whether you're, especially if you're an enthusiast, a consumer out there, right, you know, you go to the bar and the bartender's on, right? I mean, they're a good bartender if they're being friendly, they're providing hospitality, same with servers, anybody in the industry, you're trying to create an environment that people want to be a part of and be a guest of. And that can be psychologically taxing, can't it?
Absolutely. You really have to be, you know, you never know who's at your bar. Every person is, you know, potentially a lifelong customer, a regular. And so, you know, you don't really have that time to be down, even if you're walking in other, you know, areas of the restaurant or hotel, not even behind the bar, but you just have to be, you know, willing to help out, willing to go the extra mile.
Cranking in the kitchen, right? You know? Cranking in the kitchen with your fellow cooks and chefs. I mean, that.
Absolutely.
That's hardcore.
Yep. You miss one smile and you can kind of like bring down morale of the staff. So.
Right.
It's a lot.
So, and that's an important aspect to understand about striking then a balance for people that work in the industry is creating space, creating part of their daily, weekly, monthly routine that can address these issues and sort of recalibrate your mind and your body, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really hard to find time for ourselves in this business, and you really have to make a concerted effort. You know, you do late nights. You don't necessarily want to get up at 7 a.m. to do a yoga class or to go biking or, you know.
Because you just got off at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? That's pretty impossible.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and once we do get home, you know, you've got an hour or two of kind of decompressing. A lot of people that I know and me back in the day when I was working late, you know, you don't go to sleep the minute you get home. You're up another hour or two just trying to kind of like let some steam off and decompress before you can actually get to sleep. So it really extends your day beyond, you know, being in the actual bar or restaurant.
Right. And let me throw this one in there too, because I've mentioned this before, but I think a lot of people might have a hard time getting their head around it. But we all know, a lot of us in the 9-to-5 world know, hey, it's really fun to knock off, to blow off steam. You go to maybe go to a happy hour. If you cut out of work a little bit early and go 4 o'clock, you go to a happy hour at 5 o'clock. And for a lot of people, when you want to blow off steam, if you're working in the service industry, like we're talking about here, you're getting off at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So lots of times what you do is you go to a late night service oriented industry bar and go have a couple drinks, because that's like your late afternoon. I think a lot of people maybe don't understand, and they go, why don't they go home and go to bed? Well, they want to do what we do and go to a happy hour at 5 o'clock, and that's kind of analogous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do need that creative and social
time.
Outlet, yeah. You know, to not talk about work, although we always end up talking about work.
But, right.
You know, we do. You have options. You know, you don't really have a lot of options that late at night or early in the morning. You're either going to a bar or you're going home. So you're kind of in that drinking environment, or you're by yourself. So, you know, and those are your two options. It kind of, it limits you. You're not going out to a picnic or to a museum, you know, on your off time. You're
getting into
a dangerous territory when that's the pattern. So
exactly. And sometimes you have cash in your pocket with tips, which is easy to spend, you know, I've been there.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's I guess almost by accident I brought it up, but this is where I wanted to go with this, is that one of the things I think people don't maybe understand as well, either when you're looking at the service industry from the outside, is the financial well-being. Because of the way sometimes in certain states and places, wages are really low, you live off tips, it can be a cash economy in a lot of ways, as I just alluded to. That factors into some of the things that you guys are addressing at Healthy Hospo as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I got really interested in that aspect. I worked for Four Seasons actually for 4 years, and that was the first time in its over 20-year career that I actually had a 401k, that I had any kind of retirement whatsoever. And, you know, it's going through, you know, most of your life without that, it really brings home the fact that, God, I better start trying to do something. I better start saving. And it's really hard. Again, you know, cost of living is so expensive, and how do you set that money aside? How do you do it? Last year, I actually went to a seminar. There was a seminar around the country here put on by the Cardi, and it was a full day. One of it was, you know, self-defense. One of them was financial, and they had some really, really great tips on how to save. And again, you have to really work at it, but we're going to be adding some great, great stuff, some workshops to the U.S. this year. We just had our second one in London this past Monday, which was great, but that'll definitely be a part of the program here, because that's a huge stress factor. You know, we don't have retirement, so we want to give people tools and information, you know, so they can take it on themselves. And just like the medical benefits that we want to help people get, there may be some kind of a financial plan that we can help put people on as well.
Yeah, very cool. And that's it. And since you just touched on this, I think if I'm gathering correctly from Healthy Hospo, a lot of your approach then is workshop based, right? It's presenting these life skills, these professional skills to people in the industry as you roll these out around the world, around the country.
Yes. Yeah. There's kind of a few different aspects of it. Education is one of the main things. So inspiration through workshops, seminars, we can custom tailor plans for businesses. We can come into a hotel, like let's say Hotel Fig where I am, and do a specific workshop tailored to people at Hotel Fig, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It could be a small restaurant group. Tim's actually going out to Australia and doing 3 weeks out there, this April, I believe. And somebody has brought him out to, you know, create a whole plan for some businesses out there. The other thing is events. We'll do, you know, yoga classes, spin classes, hikes, things like that, that'll be partnered up with different brands. One really fun thing that Tim is doing actually is he's going to be doing 42 marathons in 42 days.
Oh, wow.
He's turned 42 this year. So in order to kind of like raise awareness for Healthy Hospo and just kind of getting healthy and in general, the day after Tails ends this year, he's going to do his first day, his first marathon, and then 42 days consecutively, he'll head from there up to New York, back to London, and back to Amsterdam. And he's hoping that people along the way will run with him. They don't have to do the entire marathon, of course, each day, but even if they want to do a 5K portion of it, bicycle along, whatever they want to do, but he wants to get as many people kind of running along with him as he can.
That's pretty cool. And I think I think we should probably note that you have to be in really good shape. Running that much in a short period of time, if you're not in shape to do it, can actually be unhealthy.
Absolutely. He's been training constantly for that. He was a part of the Martini, you know, racing event that they did in Milan and Turin this last year too. So he's you know, kind of getting involved in these big events that get a lot of exposure, and it's fun. That was great. I mean, they got bartenders mostly from Europe training and biking for months to lead up to this, because nobody wants to be in the back of the pack. You know, everyone wants to see the with all their buddies in the business. Everybody wants to be competitive. So it was a kind of a fun way to, in a way, sneak in the exercise by creating a little bit of a fun competition.
But what I want to know, Christine, is where can I sign up to ride in the pace car? I'll hand out bottles of water.
Yeah, Aperol spritz is at the end.
There you go. We're going to go low ABV. That's a whole other topic in the industry, of course, too, as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's part of the other events that we're doing as well, as we're doing some no-low pop-ups, you know, showing that, you know, we're definitely, for what we're doing, you can't be preaching to people. Nobody wants that.
Right.
So, you know, we don't ever say, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. It's just, don't do it every single night, you know, and you know, showing that we can have fun with some great non-alcoholic cocktails, low ABV cocktails, and have a great time, be social. So I'll be doing a bunch of guest bartending events around LA and around the country, and then we'll do some in Europe as well. But it's, you know, promoting some brands that, you know, are low alcohol and some really fun new spirits. Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. Let's do this, Christine. Let's take a little break here on the show, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk with you a little bit more about your interesting background and some other stuff that you do, and then you're sticking around for the podcast-only portion, another shot with Nola Drinks, so we're going to talk more about Healthy Hospo, taking advantage of the programs.
Head of some Bobby Charles Cole.
So we're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drinks Show. Come on back.
Catholic church bells toll the Louisiana blues.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land wherever you may be. Thanks, friends, for listening into the show this week. As always, we are chatting with Christine Bocchino, who is, among other things, the U.S. brand ambassador for Healthy Hospo that we talked a lot about, but also the beverage director for Hotel Figueroa in L.A., as well as a freelance food and travel writer with a bit of an emphasis on Italy. And and I know you as Cal Fresco because that's your Instagram handle, and that's kind of how we connected. So cool Instagram account. Go check that out. But tell us a little bit about let's jump to the hotel really quickly first. So beverage director.
Absolutely, yes. It's been here since the 30s. It was owned by an amazing group of women, and this restaurant group has taken it over, refurbished it, but there's still a huge emphasis on kind of strong women in the business. A lot of our top executives at the hotel and people in our outlets are women. So, you know, we're always kind of carrying on that tradition that was started back in the 30s with this hotel. So I'm definitely happy to be a part of that.
That's pretty cool. So where is the hotel again? I know you told me before, but I've never been there, actually.
We're actually about a block from the Staples Center and the Convention Center. We're okay. At 939 South Figueroa, so right off the 110 freeway, kind of where the 110 and the 10 meet.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you're the beverage director there, and you guys have, what, more than one bar and more than one restaurant, correct, in the hotel?
Absolutely, yes, definitely. We've got 3 bars and 2 restaurants, and we're about to open a 4th bar. So it's definitely a fun, large project, and each of the bars kind of has a different focus. We've got Rick's out in the back by the pool that's got a big tequila mezcal focus to it. Kind of a Casablanca look to the bar. It's really, really beautiful. And then you've got Veranda, which is more of kind of an Amaro bar, aperitif and Amaro bar.
Then
our Bar Figueroa, which is in our lobby, has a big focus on gin and whiskey. And then Breva, we've got a beautiful restaurant that's kind of a Spanish Basque style to it. And then Veranda is also has a restaurant in it. So, yeah, cool. There's a lot to do, a lot to keep track of, but it's a great fun challenge. And, you know, using my background with the other hotel that I was at, plus just different restaurants and bars, I'm able to pull all that together and get this place in shape.
But Christine, do you guys do a lot of original cocktails and things like that that follow those themes in the different spots that you just mentioned?
We absolutely do. Actually, I have the pleasure of working with Dushan Garrick, who's one of the founders of Employees Only.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's really the head of our creative team. This is his kind of baby, his project here, aside from the other things that he's doing. So everyone here is super excited to work with him, and myself included. I've got a big wine and spirits background, but to be able to work with a friend and someone that talented every day is really, really great. So, yeah, we've got different cocktail program in each bar, and we're actually about to make some spring changes, but we've got about, between the 3 bars, 45 specialty cocktails going at any one time.
I'm guessing, too, because of by the number of establishments that you have in the hotel and then also your proximity to Staples, as you said, as well, that I'm guessing that it's a lot more than just hotel guests. You get a lot of locals and folks going to the games and stuff like that that come to the hotel.
We do, actually. We're only about, our outlet's about 40% hotel guests and about 60% locals. So we do get people coming in and out after games, especially to Rick's, because we have its own separate entrance, and it's kind of right adjacent across from the Staples Center. So we do get a lot of people popping in there, and it overlooks the pool. So, you know, in nice weather, it's packed.
That's cool. And for listeners who don't know, the Staples Center is where the LA Lakers and the LA Clippers play, and there's concerts there and all kinds of stuff like that. But, well, let's do this. Yeah. We got a few minutes left before we're going to close out the radio portion. You're also a freelance food and beverage writer, and I know that a lot of your affinity is towards the wonderful country of Italy, correct?
It is, definitely. There's definitely a special place in my heart for Italy, and a lot of my close friends know that.
Yep.
Because I talk about it constantly.
Now friends of mine, our mutual friends now. That's how we met. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, initially I started working with Edible LA, which is out here, and that focuses on a lot of locally produced products. So I do some cocktail and food writing for them. It might be on a small farm that's, you know, out here in Malibu. It's, but they always actually feature each issue some local bartenders and what they're doing. And then as far as Italy, I went for the first time a couple of years ago. Of course, fell in love with it because how can you not? met some great people. And then through those connections, I was invited to be a guest judge at Florence Cocktail Week this past May and met many, many more people, including some people that founded Drops Magazine, which is an online beverage publication that's actually read worldwide, but they're based in Rome and Milan. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing with them, and that's a lot of what I did, you know, traveling the bar shows this past season is working on interviews and things like that. And I'll be back there again this May. But working closely with them, I'm also going to be doing a monthly feature for them on bar food, and I'll feature bar food from around the world.
Oh, cool.
Great, great cocktail bars. I was a pastry chef for 8 years and used to be married to a chef. So I've got a, you know, I'm super familiar with the food aspect of it. So they're going to have me handling that as well as a lot of other interviews.
That's really cool. So you've got a very wide breadth in the industry. So you've got a very strong culinary background, restaurateur background, as well as on the spirit side. Did you have a writing background before, or did you just kind of, your passion led you in that direction to put pen to paper, as it were?
It's interesting. It's always been a passion of mine. Before Edible LA, I did some writing for Westlake Magazine, which is a smaller magazine out here as well, and that was more travel writing. But it's just something that I've always wanted, and it just was all about timing. I was in the right place at the right time, and you know, Edible LA was looking for someone, and then through the other connections in Italy, it happened. You know, I sought some of it out and, you know, made those connections necessary, but it's been a long time passion, but really the bulk of it's been in the last year.
That's very cool. It's a neat experience in being able to do something like that. It's broadening your skills, right? And then affording new opportunities to explore new things. Well, we got about 2.5 minutes left or so, Christine, before we're going to close out the radio portion. And as I mentioned, you're sticking around for another shot with NOLA Drink. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Healthy Hospo and some other considerations. But tell people, let's start with the hotel. Where can people find, you mentioned the address. Well, where can we find Hotel Figueroa online if we want to go pay a visit out there to LA and come see y'all?
For the hotel, their website and Instagram are both the same. They're just under Hotel Figueroa. And then we do have individual Instagrams for Breva, our restaurant, and then Rick's and Veranda for two of our bars. So we do post a lot of events and things like that on those Instagram sites. And then for Drops, it's dropsmagazine.com. And they do post the whole articles on their Facebook page, which is also Drops Magazine.
Oh, cool.
As well as online. Yeah. And then Edible LA is the same, just Edible capital L, capital A. And they're both on Instagram and online as well.
Awesome. And what we'll be sure to do, friends, as we always do, is that we'll make sure we have these links in our show notes on the website as well as our Facebook post. Make it real easy for you to find that stuff. And also, Christine, tell people where they can find Healthy Hospo online too.
Healthy Hospo is actually, if you do have any inquiries, they're going to email Tim or myself. So tim@healthyhospo.com. He has got Instagram and Facebook and the website as well. And again, Cal Fresco for me. You can always connect with me there or through Hotel Figueroa.
Cool. And so it's just friends, so we're clear, it's Healthy Hospo, which is healthy, HOSPO.com is the website. And we'll make sure we're sharing all of that stuff with you as well. So, yeah. And, you know, I do encourage friends, if you're listening here on the radio on WGSO, to be sure to go get the podcast. We're on your favorite podcast network, be it iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. I think there's two others. I can never remember them all. Christina's like six. And and you can also just simply go to noladrinks.com where you can find out about more of our episodes as well as connect with the different guests that we've had on. And also, you know, as you know, if you're regularly listening to the show, that we on a regular basis talk about wellness in the industry and some of these other connected issues. And so you can go search for some of the back shows and hear some of the conversations that we've had about that. But as I said, Christine's going to stick around and we're going to sign off the radio portion of the show. I hope you're listening to the podcast. If not, go get it. So friends, in the meantime, remember, be kind to one another, use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all. Everybody, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Nola Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you as always. Thanks for listening into the show this week, friends. Hope you are enjoying our conversation with Christine Bocchino of Healthy Hospo, as well as other things. We're going to bounce right back over to our chat with her in just a second. Talk a little bit about low ABV cocktails, some other things, and importantly, talking about the large-scale presence that Healthy Hospo will have at Tales of the Cocktail this July. Get into some of the specifics for those of you in the service industry and those of you that are interested in what they're offering and that sort of thing. Then after that, I'll be back with my parting shot talking about the historic New Orleans restaurant, Antoine's. Here we go. Yep, everybody, another shot with Nola Drinks. Thanks for listening in this week, friends. We are chatting with Christine Bocchino of Healthy Hospo, Hotel Figueroa, as well as a freelance food and beverage writer. And here we are in our podcast-only extended portion, Christine. We are going to get a little more into the weeds as it relates specifically to Healthy Hospo and some of the issues in the hospitality industry. And one of the themes that we touched on in the previous segments of the show, talking about that trend towards lower ABV spirits, and I think we're seeing spirit companies kind of get behind promoting those brands a little more, bartenders making more cocktails out of them. It's a friendlier way for our friends in service industry situations that are allowed to consume on the job where they can, you know, you're not doing shots of tequila, maybe you're just sipping on a spritz or enjoying a little bit of an Amaro. So I think we're seeing a lot of the industry trend go in that direction, aren't we?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm seeing those kind of sections on cocktail menus all over the world. It's really nice to see, especially out here in LA with our weather. You know, we spritz year round here.
Right, right.
So it's definitely great to see. There's so many more cocktail books coming out based on it as well here in the U.S. And then a friend who I was judging with at Florence Cocktail Week, Diego Ferrari, he just came out with a great low alcohol cocktail book that's winning a bunch of awards. So I'm super happy to see that hot bartenders, bar owners, and managers are putting a big emphasis on it.
You know, it's I appreciate you saying that, because I think one of the funny things, we're talking about Italy, right? And one of the conversations that I have all the time with people, one can almost kind of picture the stereotypic, maybe they don't even realize it, the stereotypic version of a low ABV cocktail. It's like the three old guys, four old guys sitting outside in a sidewalk cafe somewhere in Italy, sipping on, you know, an aperitivo with a little club soda and an olive. I mean, that's like, that's the thing. That's it right there.
Right,
isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the classic. You know, you can't go wrong with the classic. But there are so many other options out there, like Seedlip. You have the non-alcoholic distilled spirit, and they're huge. They're in the top restaurants and top bars of the world, and we're partnering up with them on a lot of things. Claire Warner, who's one of the top people in Seedlip, she just did a talk at our workshop in London a couple days ago. So there's, you know, really, really a lot of emphasis on it. We'll be doing a lot of pop-up low ABV and no alcohol pop-up bartending sessions out here in the U.S. And we'll focus on kind of the nutritional value of some of the offerings with, you know, focusing on flavor as opposed to alcohol.
Right.
You know? So locally sourced products, you go for maximum taste, low sugar, get a little nutrients in there, and, you know, it's a win-win for everybody.
That's great. I mean, look, there's so many cool things out there in the botanical world as it relates to making spirits. A lot of these are low ABV by nature. And I think if you'd agree with this also, you know, Louisiana is a bit different as we talk to our audience here, because we're a controlled state. So what's available here isn't necessarily as wide of a selection as you would see in New York or California. But that's changing a little bit. There are so many really interesting botanical driven spirits and liqueurs and liquors out there, low ABV, from Europe and all kinds of places. It's a huge world, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And there's a few that were launched in California this year. EJ Gallo has their lo-fi line. That's a bunch of different aperitifs and vermouths. And, you know, these days you can get non-alcoholic bitters, non-alcoholic vermouths and all of that. So, you know, it really, there's so much out there now to play with, and there's new things coming up daily, it seems like. So it's really a whole nother thing to keep up with in our business.
That's the tough part, right? Is, I mean, when you talk about new things, and then all of a sudden things that have been around for 150 years, but they're just making their way to certain locations. It's a massive, massive world of this stuff.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Amaros, for example, they're huge in Europe. They've been, you know, huge for decades, you know, 100 years. But out here in the U.S., they're kind of, you know, they've always been a little bit under the surface, and just in the last couple of years, Amaros are exploding here. So we've got a whole bar that's kind of based around the aperitifs and Amaros, and it's definitely another world, but it's so fun, and people are really asking for Amaros now after dinner. And, you know, a couple of years ago, even, you wouldn't expect that, and now they ask for the Amaro list, so it's awesome.
That's cool. And that's got to be really fun and rewarding as a professional to be able to program those lists. And I, you know, we, like, Amaros are just such a fascinating example to me, keeping it even just to the conversation of what are truly Amaros from Italy. There, up until a few years ago, I had no idea the actual range of flavor profiles, ranging from the sweet to the very dry, from the very herbal to the not so herbal. It's as diverse in many ways as wine can be.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many differences, and the nuances can be so subtle or they can be drastic. So that's where education comes into play. I have a big background in education. I was a trainer for 4 years for the entire food and beverage staff at Four Seasons of 200 people. So, you know, it was really, really fun to be able to learn it all myself and then share it. But education is key, because, you know, people come in and they want to know the difference between two. You know, they want to see the Braulio and Amaro Montenegro, and you've got to know, you know, what's the difference,
right?
What makes one, you know, perfect for what they're eating, or, you know, things like that. So
Exactly.
A lot of dedication and studying.
that's part of all of our job here in the connected industry, is to do the best we can to stay informed. And it's kind of the principle behind the show. I don't do what you do, but we try and educate people and expose people to new things and all that stuff. And it's a rewarding part of the job too. I mean, it's why I do what I do, frankly.
It is. It's really fun to see people's face kind of light up when they, you know, they understand.
Yep.
And then they feel confident going somewhere else and ordering one of these products because they know what they're talking about. And then they don't have to ask again, and they can kind of show off to their friends.
Right. There you go. And you don't have to hear somebody say in a bad service sort of way, well, my favorite is, you don't have to hear that. And that's actually a good thing not to hear oftentimes.
Absolutely. That's the worst. You know, I always tell them, like, nobody cares what you like. Describe it. You know, my favorite dish is the salmon. Well, great.
Fantastic.
Why don't you just describe it and let them decide?
Yeah, exactly. I'm allergic to fish. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
but,
there you go.
Just kidding. But hey, let's talk about this because I want to make sure we get to this here. One of the important things that Healthy Hospo, Christine, is doing, because as you are a relatively new organization, as we mentioned, you guys are going to have a big presence at Tales of the Cocktail. Listeners of this show know all about it probably, but it is the world's largest conference of bartenders and the spirits industry on the planet, third week of July every year right here in New Orleans. And you guys are going to make a big push and have a big presence with a lot of programming and a lot of presentation at the event.
Yes. One of our things that we're most excited about this year, you know, last year we did the seminar, but this year we're going to actually have a dedicated space at Tales. So throughout the week, we'll be putting on yoga classes, various talks, things like that, talking about the importance of sleep, exercise, eating right. I was just kind of laughing this morning as I was thinking about this. Generally at the hotel, you know, even though I could sit down and have a 3-course meal if I want, you know, at this position, I end up standing, eating in the kitchen or in my car. You know, and it's just, right. I know better, but still I do it. So, you know, just kind of reiterating all of that stuff. We actually will have one whole day dedicated to locals only down there. So we really want to make sure that we, you know, bring in as many of the local people down there, bartenders, servers, bar owners, you know, anybody that wants to be involved, people, you know, with brands, things like that, because it's all aspects of the hospitality industry that we really want to get involved. So, yeah, we're super excited.
That's cool. You know, one of the great ironies here, and you know this, and listeners even probably know this that have heard the show for a while, one of the great ironies during Tales of the Cocktail, which is a super important event for New Orleans. It brings a lot of money in during low season, which is a big deal here. It's a shot in the arm for the service industry and the city's economy. By most estimates, about $20 million a year in recent years, which is really important in the third week of July. But where I'm going with this is the great irony is all of our friends that work in the service industry here are working because of all the things that I just described. So it's really hard for them to be able to take advantage of some of the programming and these things that actually take place at Tales. And some companies are good, you know, they have the ability to rotate people in and out, but it's tough. So trying to find, like what you guys are doing, trying to find the hours and trying to find the programming that can get the locals there to at least be able to take advantage of some of the stuff going on, especially with important issues like this, to me is a really big deal. And I applaud what you guys are doing with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just, you know, some of the crazy statistics that, you know, we talk about in this business. It's got one of the highest rates of drug abuse of any industry.
Yep.
Third highest rates of, you know, so many different things. And we actually, you know, people can't come to us at Tales during, you know, one of our seminars or any other things that we do around the country. We will all also tailor make programs and bring them to you. So, you know, if there are businesses that are interested in integrating it into what they do at their hotel, their bar, their restaurant, we'll come to you. So, you know, we want to be as readily available as possible.
That's pretty cool. So I like what you guys are doing and that you're providing some roadmap type stuff, practical application of ways to not only for individuals to apply things to their lives, but companies to be able to integrate this. And then as I think we have just a show that we did a couple weeks ago, Christine, that I know I mentioned to you before talking about the wellness of the music and hospitality industry in New Orleans, which is the backbone of the tourism economy, which is the backbone of our economy in this part of the world. And then some of the folks that we'll have on in the future that are, say, providing actual innovative healthcare programs, some of the stuff that you mentioned you all are doing. These are important things to have these complementary pieces of we need the programs, we need the money, we need the education, and we need the basically the whole infrastructure to get these folks into a place where they can not only just learn about it, but actually do it and take advantage of programs that are much needed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we can talk about it all day long, but if we don't provide, you know, a way for them to actually engage and interact, then we're kind of falling short. So we do want to get the information out there, but then follow up with a lot of these workshops and things like that. And we are looking for other, you know, organizations to kind of partner up with and you know, because we can't be everywhere at all times, of course. But, you know, within different cities, we do want to, you know, have those relationships. You know, music is such a huge thing all over the country, but especially in New Orleans. And, you know, that industry parallels a lot of the you know, bar and restaurant industry and the struggles that they have. So, you know, it's a great partnership and tie-in that, you know, we're looking forward to forging those relationships this year.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, Christy, do me a favor. Let's circle back on, tell people where they can find out more about Healthy Hospo online, please.
Okay, so our website is Healthy Hospo, so it's healthy and then HOSPO.com. We also have articles and different things that we post on our Facebook page and our Instagram, which are both Healthy Hospo as well. For any inquiries as far as, you know, tailor-making some of these seminars and things, you can email Tim Etherton Judge. He's the founder, and it's tim@healthyhospo.com. And you can also find him at Tales at UCB Brooklyn and many other places around the world this year.
Awesome. Very cool. And we can find your writings in Drops Magazine, Edible LA, and then we can come pay you a visit and say hello at Hotel Figueroa right there within spitting distance of the Staples Center in LA.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you guys anytime.
That sounds great. Well, Christine, thank you so much for taking some time and chatting with us here today on the program. I'll be sure to be seeing you in person, if not sooner, during Tales. And I'm sure we'll be circling back with you on some of these issues. And please keep us apprised with Healthy Hospo and everything else that you're up to as we go forward.
I will. Absolutely. And thanks so much for having us. We're excited to see what we can do in the future here.
Awesome. Thanks, Christine. Friends, we're going to take a little brief musical interlude, and I'll be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show this week. Friends, as always, programming note, as I mentioned at the top of the show, next week's show is going to be our second installment of what I think is our fantabulous French Quarter Fest series. That is where we have partnered up with French Quarter Festival. The tremendous music festival takes place April 11th through the 14th here in New Orleans, as well as with our good friends at Louisiana Music Factory, the fine, super fine record store there located on Frenchman Street, 421 Frenchman Street, to be specific. We're going to be chatting with two different artists, two members of the band Waterseed, Lou and Shalia, super awesome funk band, as well as Dr. Bryce Miller, who is more of a traditional jazz player, but also an educator, writer, and all kinds of other interesting stuff. It's a great chat with those guys. Actually, it's jam-packed with lots of cool conversation on food, drink, culture, music, the festival, you name it. So that'll be next week's show. Please make sure you catch that if you can. Hey, and this is our parting shot. Now, I think everybody here, when you listen to the show, if you're in New Orleans, you know, you kind of get this. We like to tell everybody that we're unique and we're different. If you're hearing this outside the area, maybe you get sick of hearing us say that. But, you know, the fact is, it's true. And one of the things that actually makes us what we are here is our love of tradition. Sure, things change. Things change here. It's not a museum here in New Orleans, right? It's very dynamic what goes on. But we love a good story, and we love good tradition. And lots of times those stories are based on tradition. Now, one of the most important places, one of the most iconic, and I hate using hackneyed expressions, but this is true in this instance, places that we have in New Orleans is the famed restaurant Antoine's. It opened in 1840. It is the longest continually run family-owned restaurant, basically still in the family, in the country. Just celebrated their 175th anniversary not all that long ago. So it's one of those places where when change happens, it's kind of seismic. It's a big deal. They have a new executive chef. His name is Rich Lee. And you might go, yeah, well, restaurants change executive chefs all the time. Well, yeah, sort of. But in this case, Rich is taking over for the long-tenured executive chef, Michael Regua. Yeah, you know, and so, as I said, change doesn't happen as much as you might think, and it certainly doesn't happen as much as you might think as it does in other restaurants. For example, Chef Michael there worked at the restaurant for 47 years, and he was the executive chef for about 25 of those. He started out as a prep cook in 1972. When he became executive chef, he took over that position from the late John DeVille, who himself worked at Antoine's for 48 years. In fact, there is one waiter there named Sterling Constant who has been working there for as long as Rich Lee, who is in his early 50s, has been alive. It is a generational restaurant. Many of the waiters that work in there are third generation. They're grandfather worked there, their dad worked there, and they worked there. When you go there, you, if you go there somewhat regularly, you have your own waiter. It's not the section you sit in. It's your waiter whenever you come in. It's popular. It's generational with the customers. Lots of the dishes there are, they don't change. That's part of the appeal of this, is that you go in and the dishes are made the way they've always been made. Now, there's always a dance that has to go on here, I think, a little bit. And Chef Lee is being brought in to help streamline the kitchen. He confesses to being a spreadsheet guy. And I think there's going to be some changes and probably some good things. You know, he's talking about improving the side dishes and the salads and some of these things. But there is going to continue to be a respect and an honor for the traditional recipes. So don't be afraid, friends. The place that gave birth to Oysters Rockefeller, that recipe's not going to change, okay? You're always going to be able to find that at Antoine's the way it has been and the way it was and the way it will continue to be. Chef Lee is talking about mining some of the old cookbooks for recipes that are no longer on the menu and maybe resurrecting some of those. He's talking about codifying the recipes, so making sure that what has basically been an oral tradition in the kitchen is not lost. So I think these are important modern changes, and I know probably that makes some people nervous when we talk about a place like Antoine's, because it is so special. It has been there for so long and has been really kind of the same thing that it's always been. Here in New Orleans, we like change. Don't think we don't. There's a lot of, we're always looking for the new great place to eat, but it's sitting on a bedrock of places like Antoine's that are consistent. They're consistently good. They honor our tradition. They honor our culture. And if you can imagine a restaurant that's been around since 1840, yeah, like I said, we like a good story. Think about all the stories that have taken place in that spot alone. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you.
All these sayings and all these sins we've tried.